The first reading from God's Word that we share together this evening comes to us from God through the prophet Jeremiah, the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 7. The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you men of Judah who enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly execute justice one with another, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own harm, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your fathers forever. O Lord, have mercy on us. The second reading from God's Word that we share together this evening comes to us through the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Colossians, the first chapter, beginning at the 3rd verse. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and has made known to you, to us, your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. O Lord, have mercy on us. Please rise for the gospel. And the gospel for this evening is taken from the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, verses 1 through 8 and verses 18 through 23, which read as follows. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. O Lord, have mercy on us. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and most important, fellow redeemed through the blood of Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Parables are stories of comparison. As Jesus used them, he made use of things that were familiar to his listeners, things taken from human life, things taken from their experience, so that they might understand the things about the kingdom. What is amazing, although it's not too amazing when you consider who the teacher is the fact that Jesus' parables continue to relate to us now, well over 2,000 years later. But I guess when you're talking about Jesus, that's not really too surprising. In the parable of the sower, he's talking about something that around here we can really understand, we can relate to. He's talking about a farmer. He goes out to plant his crop. And here's where things are just a little bit different than today. He did not have a large tractor with a planter that would take care of I don't know how many rows. I was going to name a brand of tractor, but I've learned after 7 years out here that's probably not the best thing to do. I used to think everybody drove John Deere. Boy, I learned that's not true. So we have tractors. We have planters. That's not what he had. He planted his seed by hand, broadcasting it, scattering it, that it might fall where it may. He reaches into his bag and he takes a handful of seeds and just kind of gently, but with great experience, cast it out upon the soil, upon his field. That's where it's also different. His field isn't like the fields that we have around here. It's not something that is so finely tilled and in nice shape. It was rocky and had all sorts of different types of conditions. Not as uniformed as they are here. And some of the grain fell on pathways that led through the field. And they hid them. Because these weren't large fields. He wasn't planting 1,000 acres. Don't know how many acres he would have had, but not many. And there would have been a path going through his field for people passing by. They would walk on that. And so it was hard. And the grain that fell on the path was trodden underfoot. And the birds would come down and quickly snatch it up and devour it. No crop on the path. Some of the seed fell on stony soil. A thin layer of soil that laid over a rocky undersoil. The seed would grow all right, and it would grow quickly. But as the text says, it had no root. And so as soon as the sun came up and the weather got a little dry, it would die probably faster than it even grew. And then some of the seed fell on desert soil, a decent soil, but this soil contained weeds. The hardier weeds, with their heavy foliage, cut off the light, sucked up the moisture from the grain, and the stalks of grain, though they would grow and start to look good, they too would end up dying. And then other seed fell on good soil. Deep soil for him. No rocks, or very few rocks, and very few weeds. And these were the seeds that would grow and prosper and get plenty of moisture out of the soil, and they would produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And Jesus says, "He who has ears, let him hear." In other words, listen up. Because in this parable, I'm telling you, there's a story and an application for you. The seed, of course, that Jesus is talking about is the Word of God. The sower is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. During his active earthly ministry, Jesus sowed seed. He sowed the Word. He sowed the Word not only in the things that he did in his preaching and teaching, he sowed the Word of God in the things that he did. The healings, the miracles, the acts of compassion and love. And he hasn't stopped. Jesus continues to sow the Word. But now he does it through his servants, through his disciples. Yes, he does it through pastors. He does it through missionaries. He does it through teachers. But he also does it through you. As you, like him, share the message of God's Word in the things that you say, yes, as you tell people about Jesus, as you tell your children, your grandchildren, as you pray with them before a meal or after a meal or at bedtime or at various times, as you bring them to church and Sunday school, as you comfort a troubled neighbor or friend or relative with the love of God. But you also sow the seed when you take that troubled neighbor or that troubled household, that hot dish or that dessert, or you give somebody a ride to the doctor or the hospital or help them buy their groceries because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus continues to sow the seed. He sows it through you. He sows it through me. And he sows it in many ways. Sometimes the seed, the Word, falls on rocky soil. Hearts minds, and lives. They're the soil. It doesn't even take root. The enemy of man's souls snatches the truth of the word away. And those who hear it turn away from listening to the truth and wander off going their own way. Sometimes the word falls on shallow soil. People who eagerly hear it, receive it, and love it. Their faith is genuine. But then, when disappointment comes, tribulation, perhaps rejection because of the Word and because of Jesus, perhaps ridicule on account of their faith, they quickly turn away. They want the cross. They want the crown, rather. But they don't want the cross. And it dies. The third class of hearers of the word are not much different. They too hear the word and they embrace it with all their heart, at least intellectually. But there are those weeds in the field, the worldly cares, the worldly desires, the worldly worries. And those cares and those desires and those worries pull them away from the demands that Jesus will make upon them. Makes one think of the rich young man who came to Jesus and wanted to know what he had to do to follow him. And when Jesus said, "Sell all you have and come with me," and he walked away dejected. And we don't hear anything more about him. Then there's the word that falls on the good soil. Hearts that have been well prepared by the plowing of the law of God. The weeds have been removed, and the gospel takes root. The earthly love and care and selfishness and self-righteousness are gone, and there the gospel produces a crop. The question is, which one are you? Which one am I? I know which one I want to be. And I think I know which one we all want to say we are. But the truth is, we are all four. When we honestly examine our lives in the light of God's law, we see that we are at times like that rocky soil. We hear the word of God, but our hearts and our minds and our lives are closed. It's venturing into that one area of our lives that we want to keep for ourselves, that we want to have control over. And so the enemy snatches it away and we turn away from the truth of God's word. At other times, we're like the shallow soil. Oh, we love the Lord, we love the Word, and there's no question you do. You wouldn't be here tonight if you didn't. But when disappointments and tribulations and rejections by others and ridicule from others come our way on account of our faith, we turn away from Christ. We all have to admit it. We have all done it. Like the disciples after Jesus' arrest. Like Peter. They were afraid. They are afraid of the cost. They were afraid for their lives. And they ran away. And he denied him three times. And at times we're like the soil with the weeds. Again, we love the Lord. There's no question about that. We love His Word. But the desires of the world creep into our hearts and our lives and our minds. And they grow up like weeds in our lives. And it's so easy to lose sight of the Word. It's so easy to lose sight of where God wants us to go. And we turn away. And we, for a time, may go after those things. The bling of the world blocks out the vision of the glory of God that we have in the world. And we all have to admit, we're all like this. It all happens to all of us, more often than we want to believe. So what do we do? Acknowledging the truth, what do we do? Where do we turn? We turn to the passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We turn to His suffering and His death. All the things we were not because of our sinful nature. All we are not because of our hard hearts, He was for us. He took into Himself the times our hearts are like the rocky soil. He took into Himself the times our hearts are like the shallow soil. He took into Himself the times our hearts are like the weedy soil. And He went to the cross that He might die for those times so that we might go to Him and in Him find forgiveness for our weakness and life and salvation through His strength, not our own. So that we can know His forgiveness, so that we can know the certainty of the glory of God that awaits us through Jesus Christ. And we pray that God, through the cultivation of our hearts and minds, through the Word and the sacrament, may make us like the rich soil. And He does that too. Fertile soil, where His Word does take root, and where it does grow, and where it does produce a crop. And it does that too. As I said, as you share His love with your neighbor, as you share His love with your family members, as you share His love with your friends, with those in need, as you sit beside a child in church and worship the Lord, you're producing a crop that is pleasing to God, a crop for which we take no credit, but we give thanks to God that He has cultivated us and He allows us to produce that crop. And we pray that we may be soil that produces an abundant crop. In Jesus' name, amen.